Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John in chapter number 2. The Gospel record of John in chapter number 2. We are continuing with our series of the Gospel record of John and looking through it, understanding the love of God. In John chapter 1, we have the introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that He was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was robed in flesh. We saw Him as He started His public ministry, and this morning we saw with the perfect, the invitations for people to come and meet Him personally, the personal invitations to meet Christ. And that's what makes the difference, to meet Christ personally. Now, as the story continues to go on, the Gospel record of John chapter 2 now lists the very first miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ during His public ministry. And this, if it's going to be a first of anything, that means it's something it needs to be paid attention to, and that there are several different lessons that we ought to learn as we study what is revealed to us through Scripture about the first public miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did. If you don't mind, let's read together and notice together in the Gospel record of John chapter number 2. The Gospel record of John chapter number 2, and notice with me in verse number 1. The Gospel record of John chapter 2 and verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And there was a set of 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And He saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, they have which is worse. But now, but thou hast kept the good wine unto now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the Gospel record of John in chapter number 2? The Gospel record of John chapter 2, and notice with me in verse number 1, marriage in Cana. Marriage in Cana. Jesus Christ's first public ministry, so it's going to be an important benchmark, an important account, and we're going to study this, the marriage in Cana. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. Thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here tonight. I know that it's cold outside, and I'm thankful for these good folks to be able to travel out and to see that your word is that important. Now, as we come, we're asking that you would open up your Bible in a special way that we could discern, learn more about whom you are through your miracles that you perform and the importance of this event, that we can learn lessons for ourselves to be able to trust you and to get involved with what you are already getting accomplished. Help us to open our eyes, give us discernment. As for me, Lord, I recognize I need you for my thoughts, my motives, my goals, my strength, my ability. I give all of that to you and ask that you use me however you see fit to get your word accomplished. I recognize I need you and I cannot do it myself. focus my mind, put my thoughts exactly the way, in order, the way that you want it. And let this be a blessing to those that are hearing this, that we could fall more in love with whom you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first public miracle recorded in the Bible of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ did not take place in a synagogue or a palace. It was not performed in front of rulers or priests. It happened at a wedding. An unnamed couple in a small Galilean town invited Jesus and his followers to attend. They made room in their life for Jesus to come. By the way, that's a good invitation for any married couple, to make room in their life to invite Jesus to be a part of it. It makes all the difference in the world. This decision makes all the difference. The Lord should be invited to every wedding, to every marriage. He should not be a stranger to a marriage. Long before there was a nation, long before there was a church, God instituted the very first institution of marriage, Adam and Eve. And God was the one who brought Adam to Eve and brought them together, made the covenant of husband and wife. And so every marriage should be a reflection that God should be there in the midst, that should be the goal. As for this story, this unnamed couple brought Jesus in. And what is more significant is that Jesus Christ, as he's beginning his public ministry, has not performed any miracle yet. He hasn't done anything of circumstance, anything of note, other than gather some disciples and preach. Praise the Lord that this couple was still saying, we want to make room to have him be inside of our life by faith, not having a miracle worker. They weren't inviting a national speaker. They were just inviting someone who has started to get a following as he's been preaching the word. And yet, inviting him to the wedding ended up being one of the best things they ever did. If you don't mind, let's just study this account. Notice, first of all, the master. The master. Notice in verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. So notice, not only Jesus was invited, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Now, this starts to become an important idea. We know that Jesus Christ was invited, as I said, before he was nationally known, before he was seen as a miracle worker, he was brought in. And during the wedding, one of the worst disasters that could happen for a wedding occurred. They ran out of wine. Now, we'll describe wine in a bit, but I'll go ahead and give the definition. It's freshly squeezed grape juice. It is something that was very important. Now, in the Eastern culture, the Eastern mind, hospitality is one of the most important features inside of that culture. And part of that hospitality is to make sure all of your guests are taken care of. And so with the added guest and more people had showed up, their planning fell a little bit short, and they had run out of this freshly squeezed grape juice. They ran out of wine. Now their guest was not going to have enough. And what was going to turn out to be a ceremony of joy was going to turn out to be an embarrassment that was going to stick with them for the rest of their life. They had run out of this grape juice, this wine, for hospitality for a guest. This would be something that would be considered an insult and would be considered almost a curse to the beginning of a marriage. We know that, especially in our culture, weddings are very important to the woman, to the wife. I mean, everything's got to be perfect. The dress has got to be perfect. The thing's got to be perfect. There's got to be no disruptions, nobody having any issues. It's got to be perfect. Otherwise, it just falls apart. And it seems like every wedding that I've been to, there's always something that ends up going wrong, something that behind the scenes. And so if you can imagine behind the scenes, sure enough, something's going wrong. They found out, they're talking among the servants, we ran out. What do we do? What do we do? Well, they went to Mary, or maybe Mary heard about this, and Mary says, I've got an answer for you. And she goes up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me in verse 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. She pulls aside Jesus, says, they're out of wine. This is going to be a horrible embarrassment. Can you do anything to help them? Can you help them out? Now, it would seem to someone reading this that it looks like the mother of Jesus is putting influence upon her son. And it seems like she's using her status as mother. Now, of course, we know that we have entire Christian religions that are based on this idea that if you pray to Mary, Mary will tell Jesus and Jesus will have to do everything that his mother said. Now, Mary had no clue that people were going to try to deify her and make her something she's not. But Jesus, who knew all of history, knew that was going to occur. And thus we have the next statement. Notice with me in verse number 4. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not come yet. Now, I know in our Western culture, to have this idea saying, Woman, that would not go well. But in Eastern culture, this is actually a term of honor and of endearment. It is something that was supposed to be gracious and honoring. However, it did mark a change of relationship, a change of status, that all the way up to this time, sure, Mary had some influence, but at this time, Jesus is making it very clear through the annals of history that he is not any obligation to obey what Mary told him. Now, that's going to be very important because, once again, entire Christian religions are based off of the fact that Mary is able to tell Jesus what to do and Jesus has to obey Mary. This makes it very clear. Jesus says, I do not have to obey you. It's a change of relationship. In fact, there are two times Jesus calls Mary woman. Here, which shows a difference in relationship. I understand that you are my mother. It's my obligation to honor you, but I no longer have to obey you. It's a change of relationship. By the way, there should be a change of relationship between every married couple, by the way. God made it very clear that a husband and wife are to leave their father and mother and cleave to one another. There should be a difference in relationship as they start the new household. The second time Jesus calls Mary woman is at the cross, where he's saying that to have John the apostle take care of his mother and saying, Woman, behold your son, a change of relationship. Now I'm going to be gone. It is John's job to take care of you, a change of relationship. Now again, this phrase woman is not in our culture of insulting, but in the Eastern culture, it is a term of honor and respect. However, he makes it very clear that she doesn't have the opportunity to be the authority of him. She is no longer directing. She has to be able to trust. In fact, notice what he says once again in verse number 4, Jesus saying to her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? There's a difference in relationship. Then notice he adds this. He wasn't expressing indifference, by the way. He's expressing this change of relationship, but then he says, Mine hour is not come. This phrase, Mine hour is not come, is going to be used seven different times throughout the gospel record of John. And it's pointing to a time. Jesus is saying, It's not my time to complete what I'm supposed to do. That time is going to be at the cross when his hour does come. We're going to see that in the gospel record of John chapter 17, as Jesus is going to the cross, that my hour is now come. But now he's making it a big deal that I'll do whatever I'm going to do, but it is not my time to complete my work. We're going to see in this marriage supper here that Jesus does this miracle behind the scenes. Nobody sees what Jesus is doing except the servants who are close beside Jesus at this time. No one else is going to publicly see what Jesus Christ is going to do. Not the governor, not the married couple, only the servants working alongside what the master is doing. So Mary, hearing this from Jesus by faith, notice verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. What a simple act of faith. No explanation, no delay. whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Don't question, just do it. She went and directed that to the servants. He's got this taken care of. I don't know what he's going to do, but whatever he tells you, do it. Now, this is going to be important. What we're going to see in this marriage supper of Canaan, the miracle, is that it's the servants that get to see what Jesus is doing, not the governor, not the married couple. And for those of us who are serving along with the Lord, we get to see more miracles and more behind the scenes of what God is doing to put things together than anyone else. And of course, we have experienced that as a church with the NFL draft, with some of the other things that are doing, that as we're working behind the scenes and we're working close to the Jesus, we get to see things that go on. In fact, the more involved you are in serving, the more that you get to see some of the intricacies, some of the things that God does, whether it's finances. If you were to look at the finance sheet and look at other stuff in our church and go, how in the world does this work? It just... But over and over, you see God providing, God working, God stretching. Things that don't work on paper still work out all the time. That's part of working beside. Working as you pray and start working with people. You may see a finished product for everyone else, but to disciple and to work and see as God's changing and moving and the miracles that happen to bring someone to the place of following after him. It's amazing. It's a miracle. To watch God working behind the scenes. It is so worth it to be a servant of the Lord with a simple idea that whatever he says, do. Don't question, don't try to explain, don't try to figure it out. Whatever he says, do. And let the master get his work accomplished. Just keeping it simple. We go from the master to the actual miracle. Notice with me in verse number 6. And there were a set of 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, each containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, these water pots were going to be little stone barrels, if you can imagine. And what they were used for was for washing your hands and washing dishes. You know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to use dishwater to get his miracle accomplished. You say, really? This water to wine, I thought he got some nice sparkling mountain spring water and poured it in. And then was it? No, Jesus was able to use this barrels with just regular water. These barrels that were used to wash your hands. How would you like to have that as your wedding drinks? To pass out? From these barrels that were used to wash your hands, to wash your dishes. You're like, what's the big deal out of this? That Jesus can use the ordinary, everyday things to get his work accomplished. Isn't that a blessing? Because most of us would consider ourselves something not special, ordinary, regular, common. But you know what God can do is he could take the ordinary and common and use it for his glory, for his honor, because he's that good of a God. To be able to use these barrels used for washing hands and dishwater to wash dishes and use these to get accomplished a great miracle that no one else knew about except for the servants that were working. Notice again. And there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus made a clear command to fill this up. Now, I had somewhere about how much a firkin was, but I do not remember, and I don't have it marked down, so forgive me, I can pass it up. But if I could remember correctly, I think it was about 9 gallons, 9 to 15 gallons. So you got several of them set apart, each one of them 9 to 15 gallons. And Jesus says, fill them up. Notice again, verse 7, Jesus saying to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. Now again, imagine the servants. And this is the point of view I want you to have for this. The servants, all they know is that we ran out. They invited too many people. We're going to run out. And if we run out and it's publicly known, it is going to be an embarrassment. It is going to be a mark. It's going to be a smear on the reputation of this married couple. And it's going to set a stain, a curse upon their entire marriage. Because they know this is important, they've been asked, how, what do we do? It's not like we could go grab this. They don't have Walmarts nearby. What do we do about this? How do we take care of this? Mary got involved, talked to Jesus. Then after the conversation, whatever he says, do. So now they're waiting. They have the master in front of them. What do we do? He says, grab those water parts, fill them up with water. Now, we know the end of the story, but in the midst of this, they don't know anything. This guy who's never done a miracle, that's a big deal. Never done a miracle. He's not known for feeding the masses with two loaves or a couple fishes and a couple loaves. He's never walked on water. He's never been publicly known to do any miracle of any healing. All they said is this preacher who's still early in his ministry, day three, was invited. And he says, fill up these with water. How's this going to solve our problem? Are we going to wash dishes? Are we just going to tell everyone to wash their hands? What are we doing? But remember, Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. We're not questioning. Just obey what the master says. Okay. Some of you, if you were in that thing, you'd probably shrug your shoulders, look at the, okay, what are we doing? Probably had some questions in your mind. Because again, if you knew that he could do a miracle, this would be no big deal. He's not done a public miracle. All I'm supposed to do is obey what the master told me. I don't know how it's going to work out. There was a lot of question marks. How is this going to solve our problem? You want us to wash dishes instead of get more wine? What are we doing? Not my job to worry about. My only job is to obey. So they fill them up. Notice with me if you don't mind. Verse 7, and Jesus saith unto them, fill up the water pots with water, and they filled them with to the brim. Verse 8, and he said to them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. All right, now here's a big deal. Inside of a wedding supper in the Eastern culture, you would have the married couple, but you would have the governor of the feast, the person who is the most important person there, who's in charge of overseeing this. He's also the make it or break it guy, because if he says this thing's a bust, well, then his word is a very big deal. He has a lot of weight. Jesus didn't say abracadabra. He didn't do anything. He said, fill up these water basins that are used to wash hands and to wash dishes, fill them with water. Okay, we did this. Now what are we going to do about the wine? No. I want you to take the cup, bear it, still water, dish water, washing hand water, take it, and you go give this water that you just grabbed here, you know where it came from, and go give it to the guy in charge. How would you like to be that servant? But remember what they were told. Whatever he says, do it. That's a big act of faith, especially he's never done a miracle. He's never done anything significant. Day three. Okay. You could probably imagine who they try to push up. All right, you're the head servant. The head servant says, nope, not my job. You're below me, your job. Okay, so they draw the water, and the guy's like, I hope this works. This is going to be a bad day. Delivers it up to the governor of the feast. Now, they don't know that they've run out of wine. They don't understand they've run out of grape juice. All they know is that the servant comes up and says, he go, brand new cup. You can imagine what it would be like to watch the guy take this cup that was come from the water where you wash dishes, and start drinking it? Would you almost think that this crazy Jesus guy is playing a practical joke? Making everyone drink dishwater now? an act of faith. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't work out. How does this happen? So, notice what occurs. He says, verse 8, and he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it come, but the servants that drew the water knew. Notice this phrase. The only people who knew what happened was the servants who were close to Jesus, whose job was to obey what he told them to do. No one else knew what happened. So here's the governor of the feast. A servant comes up and says, here's some more. Great. And he drinks it. And his eyes get wide. This is amazing. Now, why is this so amazing? Why is this a big deal? Verse 10. And saith unto him, verse number 9, at the end of it, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men had well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine till now. Now, why is this a big deal? What would happen normally inside of a ceremony like this is that you would have freshly squeezed grape juice. When I say freshly squeezed grape juice, I mean freshly squeezed grape juice. Because what would happen is that you would have the good wine, the good grape juice that would be to the top. And at the bottom, you would have something called the dregs. You know, if you had grapes and you squeeze them, there's always going to be that little stem left over. There's going to be seeds. There's going to be leftovers. And they're going to settle at the bottom. No one wants the bottom. You don't want to drink something that has all the stems left over and the dregs and solid stuff. That's not what you want to drink. But yet that's what they were left with. And what would happen is that as you would begin, you would start with your very best stuff. And as you would continue to drink the grape juice, your tongue would get used to the taste and desensitized. Then what you could do is you could bring out the less grade A. You start bringing grade B, grade C, the worst stuff. And people wouldn't be able to taste the difference because their tongue would be used to the taste. And that's how they would do things. You would find out what's your best. You would put your best out first. Then after that, serve your second best until you finally get to the very end where people didn't care anymore because they were so used to the taste. Yet what Jesus changed from this water into this freshly squeezed grape juice was so great, so fantastic, that even after they had been drinking grape juice for a while, it was so vibrant that the governor of the feast said, this is better than what we started off with. He got so excited that he grabbed the bridegroom, the groom, bring him over and says, I don't know what you're doing, man. Usually you set out the best at the first. But this is the best. Where have you been hiding this stuff at? And the bridegroom has no clue what's going on. I don't know. But it was showing how great quality it is what Jesus did. Jesus doesn't give half quality. Everything he does is perfect. And so with this freshly squeezed grape juice, this water turned into wine, delivered to the governor, the feast is saved. Not only saved, but the married couple doesn't start off with a stain or a curse on their marriage. Now they're being talked about. Was you there at that wedding? They brought some great stuff. They put some good stuff out, but the stuff they served later was great. I don't know why they did it, but that was great. And everyone's talking about it in a positive way. And no one knows what occurred except for Jesus and the servants. That's it. May I say, even the disciples didn't even know what's going on right now because they were not involved. Only the servants who were serving close to Jesus knew what had happened. What a big deal to have this miracle occur. This wonderful miracle of showing how Jesus Christ can change the ordinary to something fantastic. That he could transform the empty and change it to full. He works quietly, and only those who work closely to him get to see the miracle work of the master. For us as servants, We should stay close to the Master, stay involved in what God is doing, and watch Jesus do the miracle after miracle after miracle. One more thing I want to show you, and that is the manifestation of His glory. So we start off that there was a problem. Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to the Master, and the Master made it very clear that no one's going to tell Him what to do, and that He's the one who's going to be doing the miracle. He's not trying to do something public. He's not trying to reveal Himself, but He is going to take care of this. Mary quite simply says, whatever He tells you to do, do. And so they do. We saw the miracle taking these water pots that were used to wash dishes, used to wash hands, and it was changed from the ordinary to something spectacular. One more thing here, the manifestation of His glory. Notice with me in verse number 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested, that means to make apparent, to make clear, forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. Now remember, the people that are following after Christ now, it's still very new. They had left their jobs. Andrew, Peter, James, John left their jobs to follow after Jesus. They're probably having some moments of doubt, like, what do we just do? But now, with this miracle of Cana, and now they got to see what happened, they realize there's something to this. Jesus proved Himself. Notice they followed Him before He proved Himself. But now God proved His good and perfect and acceptable will. Most of you know that my life verse is Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then verse 2, it says, Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, I like that word prove, the good, perfect, and acceptable of God. The word prove means that you had evidence that it was correct. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is not talking about that I'm going to follow after God hoping. It says that as I follow after God, God is going to prove that my step of faith was correct. I'm thankful for that. For the disciples, they gave up everything. They followed their life, making their life holy and acceptable unto God, which was their reasonable service. And now what God is doing is transforming their mind and saying, there's something to this Jesus guy. He manifested. Jesus is real. He's worth following. And now God had proved that the path that they chose was the correct one for them. They knew God's perfect will for their life. How did they know that? By the simple message that Mary had. Whatever He says, do. Don't try to explain it away. Don't come up with a new plan. Don't try to theorize what's going to occur. Whatever He says, do. Keep it simple. Whatever He says, do. The Bible always keeps things simple. We make things complicated. How many times that God has wanted us to serve and we've tried to give excuses or try to say, well, do I really need to do this or not? Whatever He says, do. And as we just obey the Lord and whatever He tells us to do, even if it doesn't make sense, we get to watch God work miracles. We get to watch God prove Himself and use the ordinary and change it to extraordinary to be able to fill in the gaps, to do things that we couldn't even imagine and go, wow, it was worth it to follow Him after all. I made the right decision just to do what He told me to do. Imagine if those servants decided to fight against Jesus, try to reason with Jesus. What are you doing? This doesn't make sense. It would have shipwrecked the whole miracle. Jesus had His part to do. The servants had their part to do. The only job of a servant is to serve, is to obey what the Master told him to do. And Jesus will do His part. He manifested His glory. He proved that He was indeed the very Son of God. Verse 11, This is the beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Canaan of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This first miracle will set the tone. Remember, before this, the disciples' faith was not built on spectacle. It was on a growing understanding of who he was. His glory was revealed, and his confidence in him was confirmed. With this first miracle, there are going to be more signs and greater displays. But Canaan showed how Jesus works. He doesn't merely act, he reveals himself. He gives his servants something to do, and they obey, and he shows himself real. Very much still true for us. The only job for us to do is obey. Not to explain things away, not try to figure it out. Trust that he knows what he's doing. And every time he strengthens our faith by showing he is indeed God. So just a simple question. Again, we know we're on a Sunday night crowd. Are you following after him? Are you just simply doing what he said? Are you obeying him? Well, then you're in a great place to watch God work. It is those who are working intimately with Christ that get to watch the miracles over and over and over. If you want your faith increased, the simple truth is to trust and obey. Trust and obey. Stop fighting God. Stop trying to explain him away. Stop trying to say, I've got a better plan, a better idea. It is amazing how quickly and thoroughly God can work when we stop getting in the way and we just do whatever he says. Whatever he says, do. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And we're asking that you would encourage people's faith tonight, that we can trust in a miracle working God. We can trust in a God who knows what he's doing. For us as servants, our only job is to obey the master. Help us to learn not to fight against you, to try to explain it away, to try to reason things out, that we can trust you, whatever you say, do. Maybe perhaps there's someone in here that knows that they're struggling against something they're supposed to obey. That you are thinking you have a better plan or a better way. Maybe you've been trying to reason in your mind you could do without it. It's amazing to see how many people think they can live the Christian life without reading their Bible. It's amazing to see how people try to call themselves a servant without obeying. What is it that God is trying to do in your life? And he's just waiting for you to obey. Let God do his own work. He will reveal himself through his word. We can trust it. Trust and obey. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.